Good morning and welcome to Wanda's Picks, the Black Arts and Culture Program of the African Sisters Media Network. And that was Judith Sapuma. And we are going to be playing another selection. But before that, I want to let you know who our guest is in the studio this morning. We're going to be replaying an interview with Julie Jean Jordan, who is back on her way to Zimbabwe. She was with us here in the San Francisco Bay Area for about 3 weeks, giving talks and raising funds for Mother of Peace Orphanage in Zimbabwe. In 1994, a small group of people were led to establish an orphanage in Zimbabwe for children living with or impacted by HIV or AIDS. From humble beginnings, a house for a few children, the Mother Peace community located in Matoko, Zimbabwe, now offers a loving, stable, and secure home environment for more than 108 children. Judy Jean is actually the oldest of those children, and now she is traveling as an ambassador, raising funds and awareness about this wonderful community, Mother of Peace. At Mother of Peace, the children, because there is no other place for them, find a home where they receive education, medical treatment, and spiritual enrichment, and above all else, unconditional love. The Mother of Peace operates as an orphanage. It has a 9-member board of trustees, which oversees general fiscal and policy issues, and a 10-member management committee responsible for the day-to-day administration. Ms. Jean Cornick is a director of non-government organization, which has, among others, six female and five male non-salary dedicated volunteers who live permanently on site with the children. Two of the volunteers are fully qualified nursing sisters providing health care in collaboration with the Matoko District Hospital. In 2000, the orphanage was handling more than 100 destitute and abandoned children, most of whom have lost one or both parents to HIV or AIDS. Some of the children are themselves HIV positive. The children ages between 1 month and 18 years live in 7 family houses, which also accommodate care mothers, child minders, and their assistants. Several new members were admitted into the orphanage every week, resulting in the facilities gradually becoming overstretched. A number of the children at the orphanage were picked up from the homes of their deceased or dying parents, from the streets by social workers, or from pit latrines or rubbish dumps where they had been abandoned by desperate or frustrated parents or relatives. The orphanage needs an annual budget for food, clothing, and schooling for the orphan children. More family houses are also needed, as is funding for the recruitment and training of caregivers and child minders and their assistants. As of November 2013, Mother Peace still houses and cares for over 108 children, and they're working on the completion of their primary school, the Divine Child. This has been a very costly project that has been delayed due to inflation and lack of funds. So this is the reason, one of the reasons, and one of the goals of Julie Jean's more recent visit was to raise funds for the school. And if you want to go online and become a friend of Mother Peace and get their newsletter and see how you can help, visit motherofpeacezimbabwe.org. So I'm going to play something from Shina Carey, which is a Zimbabwean dance troupe here in the Bay Area under the artistic direction of Julia Shigamba. And if you were able to make it to Ashkenaz a few weeks ago, you experienced that wonderful, wonderful fundraising concert, which was just fabulous. And I believe Shina Carey, they're going to be going on a trip this summer to Zimbabwe, to Harare, where her family built an arts community center and there's going to be like a cultural exchange thing happening. So you can go to their website and find out more about that. Shina Kara is spelled C-H-I-N-Y-A-K-A-R-A. And I'm going to play Mabakumba, and then we'll go right into the interview with Julie Jean, which I'm sure you're going to find really fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Ladysmith Black Mambazo is a family. In my group, I have four sons, the next generation of Mambazo. They are our future. To sing our next song, welcome my youngest son, Tamsanqa Shabalala. Shabalala.
Leliafu, leliafu.
Now,
how's it been going?
Everything's pretty going good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been busy with traveling around telling the story of that wonderful place and the two wonderful sisters.
Yes, Mama Jean and Mama Stella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell us about Mother Peace and tell us about Gogo Jean and Gogo Stella. and how you came to Mother of Peace.
Wow. First of all, Mother of Peace started in 1989 in South Africa and then was founded in Zimbabwe in 1994 under the Catholic catastrophe. And Mother of Peace is responsible for taking care of the AIDS orphaned. And by that time, when some years back, when the AIDS pandemic was very high, not anyone in the country was in a position to take care of this AIDS orphaned and the sick. So the organization was founded to take extra care in the people who have been abandoned and people who were known as like outcasts because nobody wanted to get contact with them, nobody wanted to eat with them, and nobody wanted even like to share the same jersey or to eat from the same plate. But when Mother of Peace was founded, it was founded to show love to the sick. So they welcomed them in their conditions, which was very, very pathetic, and they showed love, they nurtured for them, and they also make sure that they would give them nutritional food. And Mother of Peace was founded by 5 members in the beginning, which there were 2 couples and a single lady called Gogo Jean, yes. And later on, Mother of Peace grew big and it became a very big community that was catering for these AIDS people and the orphans. And in the early 2000s, there was a man who came from America, Dr. Robert Scott, after he heard the story of Mother of Peace on the radio in Zimbabwe, and he was very much attracted to the organization because he was a specialist doctor in that field. So he paid a visit to Mother of Peace, and he found that so many children were dying. Per day, maybe would bury like 2 children a day or sometimes 7 children a week, and it was very pathetic. And Mother of Peace was really known for the dying because the children were dying so much because we did not have medication to give to the children that will help them to build the immune system. But then Dr. Scott, due to his knowledge and due to his experience in the in the disease, he came back to America and he decided that he should play a role of maybe sending some medication to Zimbabwe to help the children at Mother of Peace. So from that time, Dr. Scott has been bringing medicine for the children, and now the children, they got better medication. They started to live, and Mother of Peace is not now for the dying, but it is now for the living. And thereafter, during Mother of Peace growing, Mama Stella, she also came from UK to come and join Mama Jean, her sister, in catering for this the AIDS orphans and the other disadvantaged children in the society. And they did very well, and Mother of Peace has grown so big, and now it has got 110 children who are registered under the social welfare of Zimbabwe, and with also about 20 children who are above 18. And Mother of Peace does not really stand up in a position like to say if a child is 18 years, they'll automatically say, now we are above 18, we have to go. It really continues to mother the child until the child is able to take care of herself, until the child is secured also in life. And is responsible to run their own life without the supervision of the community. So Mother of Peace is always there to make sure that all the children are taken care of and all the children, they obtain what is best for their well-being. And also now myself, I came here to America to share my story, to share my resurrection life from the life I've been disadvantaged in life due to so many circumstances I faced in life. Because when my mother gave birth to me, she dumped me in a garbage and somebody picked me up and I was taken for adoption. And my adopted mother died when I was 5 years. And when she died, it means also that her love had died and there was nobody who was able to take care of me so well. So they moved me from one place to another, trying to search he who can take care of me so well. But all the people, they would say, we cannot do this anymore. I cannot take care of this child because the person who desired, who was having that ego of taking care of me, she had died. So these other people who remained behind, it was not of their core. And also in the African context of life, it is very difficult for a certain religion or tradition of people to adopt a child from another family because they will believe that maybe some evil spirits might have brought into the family. So after she had died, it means everything just died up. And later on, I was taken to my sister in Bulawayo. I stayed with her for 6 years until one day I was supposed to go for a grade 7 trip to Botswana. They wanted a long birth certificate, that is a full-sized birth certificate, and I had a mini-sized one. So they wanted to eliminate the number of children who were going for the trip by saying those with the small birth certificates, we are not going. And I was one of those children with the small birth certificate. And coming back home, I told them that the teacher had said, I'm not going because my birth certificate was small. And my brother-in-law went to the immigration office to ask if the birth certificate was not valid. But fortunately, he got the good answer to say the birth certificate was valid and they have to write a letter in support of what they had said. So he brought the letter to me, and on a Monday morning, they gave me an envelope to say, Julie Jean, can you please take this envelope to school and give to your teacher? Then I said, okay, fine. I took the envelope, but because I wanted to know what was inside, I was quite clever. I wanted to know if I was to be happy before the teacher had announced that I'm going for the trip, or maybe the envelope contained the bad news to say I was not going. So I went into the toilet, I opened the envelope. Then I saw my baptismal certificate from the Catholic Church, and I saw that small birth certificate was inside, and I saw the letter that was written by the immigration to say that my birth certificate was still valid and I'm going for the trip, and I was happy. Then the fourth item I saw inside was a letter of adoption. And by that time, my English was so poor and I did not understand the word for adoption because the vocabulary was quite deeper for my understanding at the age of 13 years old. So I went back into the class. I approached one of my friends. I asked her, what is the meaning of adoption? Then she told me, according to her understanding, to say, it's like if I give birth to my own child, I would give you to take care of that baby. That means adoption. Then I said, okay, fine. If it is like that, it can be because my mother, she died. Let's check in the dictionary. Then we opened the dictionary and it really elaborates almost what she had said. Then from that moment, I realized who I was. I was shocked. I was traumatized. I could not believe it. And I was full of wonders in my thoughts. And that led me to be traumatized. The situation just traumatized me. And I found myself in a trauma. But coming back home, I could not share this with anybody else. So by finding out all this, it really killed my self-esteem because I was believing that my mother was my mother, my uncle was my uncles, and my sister, the one I was even living with by that time, she was my own, but only to find out that she was not even my sister. Then later on, I decided to say, okay, after all this outcome, I think the best way is for me to go to the convent, because if I would get married, the problem is, what am I going to tell my children if they would ask me, who is our grandmother, who is our grandfather? So I decided to say, I have to go and join the convent, the Sisters of Notre Dame. Then I approached them. They welcomed me into their congregation. I take the word back home to my sister to say I wanted to go to the convent. She was in supporting of this, but with a small heart, because in the African context of life as well, if a woman grows up to become an elderly and if she gets married, they charge what they call the bride's groom, the lobola, the money, so that the husband has to pay for me. So it will bring some other income in the family, and they can use it in educating others or maybe buying a car or whatsoever for their own family. And that would be a benefit of having a girl child in a family. So after I told my brother-in-law, he didn't want me to go to the convent. So what he did one night when my sister went out to work, because she was a nurse, he came into the room where I was sleeping by myself, and he attempted to rape me. He threatened me. He said all sorts of things, and the fortunate part is I only tell him that if he wanted to do anything, then he has to continue doing what he wanted. But when the wife comes the next morning, I was going to tell his wife. Then he was like, I'm going to kill you. You don't have to say anything. You have no right. Just keep quiet. And then he dragged me into his bedroom, and he locks the door and puts the key in his pajamas. And he just turned. I don't know what he was taking, somewhere he was looking for, and I just managed to grab an iron bar that was just lying in the house. Then I hit him on the back, and he falls down, and I grabbed the keys from his pajamas. I opened the door, and I locked him from outside. Then I went into the kitchen. I took meat from the fridge. I threw the meat to the dogs so that they would concentrate in eating while I was going out of the gate, because the dogs were so vicious. Even if we stayed with them also, they were also vicious to us. So I left and I went to my friend's house. I slept there, and the mother said, Julie, you have to go back to your sister and tell her what had happened. So I went back. I told her what had happened the next morning, and she did not believe me, and she even doubted me. But I said, okay, fine. I just come to tell you what happened and to say goodbye. So I left, and I went to another sister again. House, because they wanted to discuss this matter as a family issue. And I stayed with her for 3 weeks before they come for the meeting. So when they came, we had a family court, we sit down, we talk about it, and he still denies it. And even my sister, the other one, she did not believe it also, because she was a widow, and this same husband of my other sister was also helping to take care of her family. So she was saying I was there to break the relationship which they had, and now if you say like that, he is not going to continue helping my family and sending my children to school. Then I said, okay, fine. Since I know my life, you guys, I will leave you in peace. Then they said, no, you are going to Motoko. And if you go to Motoko, you are going to stay with another cousin of ours. So I went to Motoko, and this cousin of them, she was married to this man, but then she was not staying with the husband. It was going to be me and him only in the house. And now the other thoughts of what had happened in the fateful night of the previous time with my another sister's husband, I was very much devastated, and I was not even feeling to be free in the house because I was going to stay with another man again all by myself, and now I would not know what he's thinking of me, and I still carried the fear of the last experience. So later on, he just say, I think I'm not in a position to take care of you. I need to go and surrender you back to the police. So they took me back to the police and told the police that the person who wanted to raise this kid, she died a long time ago. So to me, she's now a burden. Maybe I need an affidavit. I write, I surrender. Then you don't know what, I don't know what you can do with her. So he was given an affidavit to fill in and swear that he was having nothing to do with me anymore. And now the police had to look for a place of safety through the social welfare department. And that's when they phoned Mother of Peace and spoke to Mama Jean. And Mama Jean, she welcomed me in the community. And when I was at Mother of Peace, I really felt being at home because the whole community, everybody who was there, they have this kind of an extraordinary love. People love each other no matter from which kind of background you were coming from. We were all united there with love, and the Mama Jean and Mama Stella there to make sure that they sent me back to school. And they sent me to school, and I obtained my diploma in hotel management, and I passed very well. And they had to make sure that I eat well. I was lacking to eat 3 meals a day in terms of difficulties. Sometimes you spend 3 days without anything. So at Mother of Peace, all this was provided. Shelter was even provided. And I thank God for giving me that opportunity because it really helped me to build back myself. The inner Julie that had died some years ago because of all the tragedies I had faced as a young child, by this time at Mother of Peace, that plant of myself, of that inner Julie, started to regrow again and uproot new shoots and everything. So I just thank God for the opportunity He has given me in life. And even when I was in terms of problems, I attempted suicide twice. I drank a whole cup of pills, but I did not die. I went to the railway station line because I wanted the train to come over me, but all this, it did not happen because when the train was coming, I was pulled off from the going on the railway line, and I got my life back. And from that day, I just stand up and say, God, I think you have a purpose for me in life, and you truly love me. And now I know that even before I was born, He had some other plans for me. And that was the word that keeps me going, to say He knows what He has planned for me. So let life take its place. And I just, because of the love and everything that I got at Mother of Peace, now I can say life is such, and such is life. And also I'm even happy and feel privileged that my life is to inspire other people, and that inspiration will make those people to help back to the community of Mother of Peace, so that these other brothers and sisters of mine who are young, who still want to go to school, who still want to have a good shelter, who still want to have a good health, be continuously supported. And I came to the United States to witness to the so-called various donors who have been helping Mother of Peace, to say it is not of loss what you have been doing in the past, but you were all doing it for the sake of who I am today. So your help has brought me this far. Your help has changed my life in this way. And I thank God also, because now being at Mother of Peace, it has even opened other extra gates for me. You can imagine, I specialized in hospitality, but now I'm working in the business management. I'm running a program called Micro Business Mentors. We give small loans to the people in the villages so that they alleviate poverty in doing small projects. And so far, so good. The projects are doing well, and all everyone who is given the loan, they are paying back. And I haven't come across any problems in recovering the loan back. And our loans have no interest. You give you $50, you retain $50. Yes, that's all I can say, Wanda.
Oh, wow, what a story. My goodness. So I have a few questions. Wow, wow. So how old were you when you finally got to Mother of Peace?
Well, I went to Mother of Peace when I was 15.
Wow, so you were really young when these men were, your brothers-in-law supposedly were trying to take advantage of you. You were still really young.
Yes, I was just like a tenderized steak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I met you, this year, at Mother of Peace, you said I think you said you were the oldest child, and of Gogo Jean and Gogo Stella, and you're a mother now yourself, and you basically you were like their right hand person. I mean, when Gogo Jean needed something, she'd have you take care of it. And then where I was staying in the cottage with I think that Dr. Scott built, but anyway, his picture is there. The person who was staying in the cottage with me, because it's really nice the way the grounds are laid out. You have these different cottages that house guests as well as the children, and then you have all these kitchens, outdoor kitchens where the children's meals are prepared, and each house has like a mother that takes care of the children, and you all were talking about the micro loans and the businesses and the different women who were participating, and I was wondering how many women have small businesses now, and what kind of businesses do they have?
Wow, we have people doing some small retail business whereby they're concentrating on either selling one product or maybe selling two products. So those who have started, they've been like selling sugar, cooking oil, salt, candles, and also flour, some matemba. Those are like small carpenter fish, the dried fish. Mm-hmm. And we had also people concentrating on selling beans. So like a bucket of beans cost like $40. So would give a borrower $40. And when the borrower sell the beans, maybe she'll get like maybe $50 or $55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we teach them to save, and we teach them to pay back the loan, and we also teach them to have their records written down to say, I've bought this item at so much, and I've sold it at this much, and my profit is like this. And we also teach them to say they don't have to mix business and family, whereby if my sister comes and asks me for money, I just take it from my cash, from the cash box, and just give. We teach them to resist such family situations, because by them doing so, if the business is not very productive, it means that they are leading their business in decreasing in their sales and also in falling down. So we teach them to say the business has to first give you more money so that you'll be in a position to give extra.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And how many cottages are there? Because it's like a city. Mother Peace is like a city. It's between two mountains. One of them is a sacred mountain, or maybe they're both sacred mountains. And then there is a leper, former leper colony there that shares the same region or same sort of community that Mother Peace shares. And in the communities, they support each other, and there's a church on the grounds, and you know, the children and everyone there goes to the church. But then one morning, I think you all were the adults, and some maybe the children, I don't know, had got on a truck, had a, you know, one of the vehicles, and had gone to town to church. And so it's a really religious community. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the like how many cottages are there, and I know people can go to Mother Peace and stay, and volunteers are welcome, and it's just really wonderful. There's a clinic there that supports the community with Nurse Josephine, and she said that the cases of HIV disease, that people don't die from it anymore because people come in early and get tested, and then even if the men don't get tested as much as the women, they will use, you know, condoms to keep the women from being, you know, reinfected if they're found, you know, to be to have the disease. And then they get the medicines, and then, you know, it's just really wonderful. And then, oh, and now they deliver babies there. So, so I just talk a little bit about the grounds. And there's a farm, and you all have prisoners from the local jail or prison come in, and they do they help with the farming, and then different people in the community, they take the crops that are grown at Mother of Peace, and they buy them at a wholesale price, and they resell them in the marketplace. And then you all have all of these animals. Oh my God! Remember, you came in one day and you all had killed something, and you took it to the butcher to get slaughtered, and then you all were chopping it up. And yeah, talk a little bit about how self-sufficient the place is.
Okay, well, Wanda. The good part about Mother of Peace is they are also trying to be self-sufficient, and also it is also by the well wishes of donors that helps them to chip into the already existing project and makes them grow. So at Mother of Peace, we have got the dairy cows, which is there to give milk to the children. So every day we milk some cows from the dairy cows, and we have the beef cows, whereby maybe once a month we slaughter a cow to supply the children with meat. And we have the piggery section. We keep pigs for commercial. We sell the meat for the pigs, and we also queue for the children to eat. Like, you know, we don't need to go to the shops and get bacon. We just make our own pork chops and the like. And we also have the farm whereby we grow variety of horticultural crops, e.g. we grow butternuts, we grow cabbages, we grow tomatoes, we grow carrots, and we grow some greens, vegetables, and all these projects, we try to commercialize some of the items, whilst some of them we also give to the children to eat. And we have a big dam that supplies the water. And we also have big fields whereby we grow our corn, so that we can have the corn meal we use to make our own staple food called salsa. And we also have chickens for meat. We make our own Kentucky. We also have chickens that lay eggs. So we have some eggs for the breakfast, and we can also make our own egg curries, and the children can eat with the rice. And we also have the machine. We make our own peanut butter, and all these things, we do them at a very limited way. Some of these projects, they are not highly commercialized because we are not in a position of able to produce so much for the selling production. But the little we get, we just divide in between so that the children can have some, whilst we try to consume some of the products. And also, Mother of Peace, we have a big dam where the water comes to do all the irrigation and the like. And we also have fish in the dam. So we have some people volunteering to come and catch fish for us. Then we can give to the children because fish is very rich also in proteins. So our meals at Mother of Peace are like maybe children, they eat meat, chicken meat, pork meat, fish, vegetable, beans, and soya chunks, and some peanut butter sauce. And also, life at Mother of Peace is very welcoming to our guests. We all try by all means to make them feel at home, and it's really a loving place whereby everybody come and visit globally. We have so many visitors from Austria, from America. Most of our guests have been coming from America through the program that the late Dr. Scott has been running. And even until now, the work he has started is still speaking because people who have been working with Dr. Scott, they formed what is known as the Mother of Peace Consortium group here in America. So it is compromises of some different churches like MCCS from San Francisco.
Let me give some of the names because I went to your website.
Yes,
your Mother of Peace, Zimbabwe.org. The consortium is made up of these churches, City of Refuge United Church of Christ of Oakland, California, Lafayette Orinda Presbyterian Church of Lafayette, St. Benedict's Catholic Church of Oakland, Allen Temple Baptist Church of Oakland, the Congregational Church of San Mateo, United Church of Christ of San Mateo, New Spirit Community Church of Berkeley. Are there any others that I didn't mention? Because these are the ones that are on the website.
Yes, Sophia of Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cheers.
Sophia of Trinity.
Oh, Sophia of Trinity. Okay, where's that one?
It's in San Francisco.
Okay, that's the one you were telling me about the other day when we spoke? That's where you were?
Yes, because
okay.
It's like a Catholic church. Some members who move from the Catholic church, and now they have like a female priest. So that is the other church.
Yeah, I remember when Dr. Scott first started going to Zimbabwe, because I knew him, because he started the AIDS ministry in Allen Temple. And I remember he was the first doctor I ever knew that could practice in different countries. Like, okay, he's licensed to practice in, you know, the United States, but then he's practicing in Zimbabwe. I'm like, oh. And I remember one time I was talking to him, and he was on the airplane getting ready to go. Like, he had to, like, stop talking, but he, you know, like how they tell you to put your phone up? And he was still talking to me until the very, very last moment that they had to take off, telling me about, you know, the project he was working on at Mother of Peace. And I remember when Gogo Jean and Gogo Stella came to town. I never met them, but I remember when they came to town to Allen Temple the first time, you know, to talk to the community about Mother of Peace and their work there with the orphans. Yeah, so they just do some fabulous work. Could you talk a little bit about, because I was just looking at some pictures of you and your daughter. If you could tell us your daughter's name again, I don't remember.
No, sorry, it's a boy, it's a son.
Your daughter?
No, my son.
No, your daughter, I met your daughter.
Oh, remember that daughter you saw. I couldn't really express much because she was there. That girl, she came to Mother of Peace when she was born, because when her mother gave birth, she died. And so when she came to Mother of Peace, the very first day she arrived, I just said to Mama Jean, she's going to be my daughter and I love her. And so I have this great love for her, because I just say, if my mother had love for me, the mother I never know. So it was really a lesson also to me to say I was adopted, so I needed to adopt somebody. Mm-hmm. And there she was, and I really love that girl so much. I really love her, and I just thank God that even though she faced the program of reintegrated to Mother of Peace, there is a process whereby if those children who came to Mother of Peace, if they have got their families, they are reintegrated, they make a family reunion with their family members so they would go back to their families. So when she was at Mother of Peace, she was reintegrated and she went back to the village. So that time you saw her, she had come to visit me.
Right, yeah, I know, because you hadn't seen her in a while, and you were always hanging out. So we were like, we went walking. And so if you could tell my audience about the two mountains, because I don't remember their names, and then the leper colony, because I have pictures of you with your friends that we met there, and we were walking around, and then we went and we met the brother who's like the keeper of the...
The deacon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, Mother of Peace, it was prophesied in the long time ago that it was going to be in between two mountains and in between two rivers and behind the mountain. So the two rivers which are there is Chikondoma River and Muzi River, and the mountain which is behind Mother of Peace is called Mutema Mountain. Why it was named Mutema? Mutema means cut off. So 500 years ago in history, during that time, there at Mutema behind the mountain, that's where the lepers colony really started, because the lepers, they were staying there and they were bent in their small poor and dark houses, because when one is of not able to help himself so much, they'll just come and close the door and bend them inside. Even if they would die, some of them, they were not properly buried, they were burned. So Mutema means cut off. It was like the people have been rejected and they were declared as outcasts. So that was the only place for them to live. And then later on, in years to come, they moved to where they are right now, where the lepers colony is, behind Chigona Mountain. And when they are residing at Chigona Mountain, so many things happened, and as life was going on, and Mother of Peace finally came and was located at the same spot where lepers have been living some 500 years ago. Because when they discover Mother of Peace, they went to the Minister of Lands because they wanted to find out if anybody was owing the land for Mother of Peace. But they only discovered that the land was not owned by anybody. And the reason why it was owned by anyone, it was due to the fact that it has been a home for the lepers some years ago. So nobody wanted to anything to do with that place, because they still believed that maybe the virus of lepers was still on that land. So no one wanted it. So when Mother of Peace was founded, they were given that place, and they received it with love, and that's when the community started to function. And also on the other side, where there is a lepers colony now, there was a man who came from United Kingdom, and his name was John Bradburn. He wanted to come to Zimbabwe to live on a cave, but one of his friends, a father, Father John Duff, said, "My friend, before you choose or you look for a mountain in Zimbabwe, I want to take you to this other place." So he brought him to Mutema Lepers one weekend, and he was going around seeing all those lepers, seeing how they were living and how they were cared for. Then he just said, "You know what, John Duff? I think this is a real mountain, a real cave for me. My heart says I should stay here and I should not go back." So he automatically changed his plans of looking for a cave and started to live at Mutema Lepers with the lepers. Until during the war, he was killed. So he died a martyr. So in the Catholic Church, we still celebrate his memorial That's why you find out, like, in the first weekend of September, so many people, they come globally to remember this trench vagabond guy, John Randall Bradburn. Mm-hmm. And also, that also makes the place very popular. And also, that makes the place also comfortable for the Mother of Peace, because if people come to the mountain to pray as pilgrims, they are bringing gifts for the lepers, they are bringing gifts for Mother of Peace, but these gifts are for the benefit of their daily living. Like, they are bringing cooking oil, they are bringing sugar, they are bringing rice, they are bringing clothes, and also they would also bring some of the items to Mother of Peace. And I thank God, when I started to work for Micro Business Mentors as their only representative in Zimbabwe, I just say, before you save the nation, maybe I should save my family first. I considered the leprous colony as part of my life, as my family. So I stand on behalf of them to MBM to consider them. So they were the first people to get a loan from the Micro Business Mentors, because I wanted to put a change in this world, to say even people of disability, people of lepers, we only read about lepers in the Bible, but now lepers are doing business. Lepers are now entrepreneurship. Lepers are now other people who can also do things we can also do us. So I thank God for that opportunity and for that enlightening my heart to see that we should consider these people so that they also become entrepreneurship, despite the fact that they are suffering from leprosy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we talked about how, you know, HIV and AIDS, you know, the stigma attached to that disease, and then we have the stigma attached to leprosy. You know, people think, oh, if I touch somebody with leprosy, then I'll catch it or I'll get it. And people with, you know, the leprosy, you know, it really mutilates your body. I mean, people have trouble with their vision. It fuses their hands together. People have lost, you know, their hands, use of their hands, and a lot of people are in wheelchairs, and there's this wonderful, within the I guess the little village, you know, where they live, there's also medical care. You know, people
yes.
there taking care of them, which is really nice. When we were there, they were the person we spoke to was talking about how their electricity had been cut off or something.
Yes, they get the electricity cut off even at Mother of Peace, because the bills have grown so big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been in a position to pay for their electrical bills. So it was really high, such that the suppliers of the electricity, they just come and cut their electricity. And now the fortunate part is the councillor who has been elected and who looks after the people in that ward,
mm-hmm.
he is also having one hand. So he just went and stand up for the rights of the disabled people and say, if you switch off the lights for the leprous people, how do you think they can go to the bush and look for the firewood, well, if they don't have the hands or the legs? So they found sympathy in his word, and they just went back to the colony and turned off the electricity.
They turned it back on?
Yes, they turned on. And also, when our president won the elections,
mm-hmm.
he declared that all bills should be cancelled. Whether you have an electric bill which is too high,
mm-hmm.
it was cancelled. You pay taxes, you have not been paying your taxes for a long time. All those things were cancelled.
Oh, that's excellent.
And we start on a new page.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So things.
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So on your trip, because you're going to be here, I guess, through next week, and then you take off?
Yes, and on the 10th, I'm leaving.
Right, yeah. So was there anything particular that, I know you're doing like talks and fundraisers, but is there anything particular that that Mother Peace needs for its various projects? I mean, is there anything, you know, that you could tell us that, you know, that you want, like you need some donations of besides money? Is there anything that you need specifically, like you're raising money for?
Yes, we are. My trip also specifically here is mostly like Mother of Peace is building a school now within its complex for the elementary students, and we call it a primary school back home. Mm-hmm. So they would want to buy some desks for the students. They would want to buy books, and yeah, they would want to do sort of things, because the money they got was only to build two blocks, and they still need to build more blocks.
Okay.
Because the two blocks will only cover grade 4, 5, 6, 7, while least from kindergarten to grade 3 will still remain using the facilities within the Mother of Peace. So a lot is to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just pleading to the whole world to put hands together and please, please help Mother of Peace. They need to build the school. They need to finish the school. They need to buy the books for the children, because education is the key of life. If the children at Mother of Peace are educated, then they have conquered poverty.
Yeah, it was really nice seeing the, because it was vacation when I was there, so, you know, older children that were, you know, away at boarding school, they came back to visit, and Gogo Jean was, you know, talking about how well this student was doing in his studies, or that student was doing in her studies. I mean, and that costs money, too, to put, you know, the young people through school, because school costs money, right? It's not free, is it?
Yes, it costs money, because you find out that a child who is at boarding school is paying like $500, mm-hmm. and the one who is learning from home is paying like $250. That is at high school,
mm-hmm.
and those ones at primary school, maybe each term is like they need $100
mm-hmm. right.
to cover school fees and uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And the 500 for the ones who are at high school, at boarding school, mm-hmm. is not covering the turkey food, you know, the pocket money in their turkey. It's even excluded. So it is quite costly. So those children who do very well at school, they are taken to boarding school. But their challenges will be some other extras they need.
Yeah, so how much would it cost if somebody wanted to sponsor, let's say, a child for high school, like those 4 years? How much would that cost, like each year or for the 4 years?
Now, at high school, we have to look at a child who is very intelligent at school,
mm-hmm.
who is attending a boarding school,
mm-hmm.
or a child who is at high school but learning from the house. So you have to tell me which one is
just give me a range. Like if the child is at home in high school, how much would that be a year for fees?
So,
and then if the child is at boarding school, just the range. It could be general, you know, so like between what and what.
So a child that is at boarding school the whole year might need $1,500 the whole year. Then a child who is learning from home might need like $750 the whole year. Then a child who is at primary school will need $300 the whole year.
Oh, just that's all? Huh.
Mm.
Okay.
And it also includes part of some other uniforms as well.
Okay.
Because when you go to the high school, at the boarding school, if you arrive, you pay, they can supply you with the school uniform. But not the shoes, only some school uniforms.
Yeah. So how many of the 120, 130 children, how many are in high school right now?
In high school, we have got about 18 students, or roughly 20, because three are at boarding schools and the rest are learning from home.
Okay, okay.
So, and we have about 70 something of them are going from grade 0 to grade 7. Mm-hmm. About 80 on an elementary school.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, nice.
So the community is trying to educate some ministers, presidents of the new generation to come, and some governors of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It will only be easier if people stand up and support.
Yeah, so if people are interested in helping Mother Peace, they could just go to the website and get in touch with
Consortium. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ronnie Jordan.
Since if they're in the Bay Area, they could just get in touch with the folks at the consortium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And they have an email address here. It's MOP for Mother Peace and then consortium@gmail.com. So you can email if you're interested in helping out. You could just in your local, which means you can talk to folks. You could just email MOP for Mother Peace consortium@gmail.com, and the mailing address is care of Bishop Yvette Flunder Foundation, Y.A. Flunder Foundation. And it's Mother Peace Bay Area Consortium, care of Archbishop Yvette Flunder Foundation, 1271 Washington Street, Suite 220, San Leandro, California, 94577. And I'm just reading from the website, motherpeacezimbabwe.org. Yeah. So five people, and the two sisters started Mother Peace in South Africa. Are they South African, and then they brought it to Zimbabwe after that?
These founder members in Zimbabwe were Zimbabweans, but the founder, she's South African.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And how did Gogo Jean and Gogo Stella meet the founder?
Because when Gogo Jean retired from her public relations work in Harare, one day she was at church and she was confronted by this man and said, "My friend, there's this program to start. Do you have interest or whatsoever?" So Gogo Jean, she became the right candidate because she was a retired also nurse from United Kingdom. So that made it easier for them to have a matron for the children in the beginning. So when she joined the community, she started to work as a matron.
Okay.
While she was using her medical background.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But later on in years running, some of the first couple, they retired and they went on and started another children's home in Harare called St. Maslin, whilst the other one, they retired and went back to England, and she remained there. So when she remained, Mama Stella, she also came and joined to help her. And both were nurses trained in UK.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she's a nurse?
Yes, she's a nurse.
Oh, okay, nice.
So whenever we need our injections, those are the people who were injecting us.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get also like a monthly injection of my RHD.
What's that?
It's an injection for the heart.
Oh.
An antibiotic, yes.
For your heart?
Yes, I was rheumatic when I was growing up.
Oh, but you're okay now?
I'm fit.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of Dr. Scott and Gogo Stella and Gogo Jean and Ronnie on the website, And it's a long, it's like they're so young looking.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I can't tell folks enough how wonderful it is that Mother of Peace. I see why Ronnie said that it's like heaven on earth. It's just so beautiful and so peaceful. You could just go there and not go in, you know, not move. It's just so, like, so loving and just such a wonderful place.
Mother of Peace is, it's a fountain of love.
Yeah, it really is. Wow, well, it's been so great talking to you about...
Thank you, my dear.
We finally had our interview. This is so great. Yeah. So is there anything else you want to say before I end the interview? Or have we covered everything for now?
Yeah. I still want to say to the world, please, please, let's help Mother of Peace. Let's help the children so that they get education, because education is their key to life. They don't have any other relative which is more than education.
Yeah, because I met, you know, some really nice girls, you know, that showed me around. You know, we climbed the mountain together. And you know, some of the children, their parents had died in like a car accident, and they were really young, and they had older siblings, but the siblings couldn't take care of them, so they took them to Mother Peace, so that you know their siblings would have good care, you know, loving care, and then sometimes people were referred to Mother Peace like you were, you know, through a social worker that knew of the orphanage and the wonderful care that, you know, the young people get, the children get when they're there. So, you know, it's just really wonderful. And then everyone's always smiling, like the people that drive the trucks and the cars and fix the vehicles. And, you know, everybody's so happy.
Yes, they are full of joy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really
full of
joy.
It's a community full of love.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, a love of, that's, you know, that's deep. You know, it comes from, you know, spirit of kindness and generosity and compassion. You mean definitely.
And Mother of Peace is welcoming. We have a guest house which can accommodate 30 people at one time.
Right, yeah.
Even the maximum we can accommodate maybe people from all over the world at one time. We can cater for 70 people. Remember, we cater for the teenagers from LOPC when they visited Mother of Peace.
From
LOPC, Orienda.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, they visited us, and they were 70.
Nice.
And we stayed with them for a week and a half, and we make sure they had good breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Yeah, did you see, have you had a chance to see Arnold Perkins yet? Because when we visited the sister whose husband gave us a tour of the, I guess, the priest who started the leper colony, and he has, like, there's like a church and where he stayed, and it's like a, like they're like museums now, and yeah. she was once, you know, one of the children at Mother of Peace, and now she's married and has children, and so she, one of her friends is Arnold Perkins, who's here in Oakland. He used to be over the health department for Alameda County, and I just saw him, and he said that whenever Gogo Jean or Gogo Stella or both of them come, he always tries to host something, and I was wondering if you had an opportunity to see him yet before you leave. Had he been in touch with you yet?
Who is that, Kendrick?
Arnold Perkins.
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to stop taping right now, and we're going to just, I just want to talk to you for a minute, okay?
Okay, no, it's fine, my dear.
So that was Julie Jean Jordan speaking about Mother Peace, and she is still traveling. Takes a while to get from the West Coast to the southern part of Africa. So she'll be traveling for a while. I don't know how many stops she has, but I hope her journey is going well. and that everything is smooth and comfortable for her. So we're going to play another piece from Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and this is from their live album. And this one here features a little bit conversation from Albert, and then he introduces this next song.
Sanbonani. That's a greeting in our language, isiZulu, meaning hello. The response is yebo. Sanbonani. Beautiful. We thank you all for coming to our show this evening. Ladysmith Black Mambazo was formed 51 years ago by our leader, Professor B.J. Mshengu Shabalala. And our mission has been to spread our culture, the culture of South Africa, of love, peace, and harmony throughout the world. Your being here this evening continues this journey. We thank you very much. This next song is called Yang Ilumi Nkukhu. It's about a naughty little chicken who won't let us do our work on the farm. This little chicken keeps biting our feet, our ankles, and our legs. Sometimes we get fed up with this little chicken. We wanted to kill it and eat it, making some buffalo wings with it. But some of us have said, no, it's too small. It won't be enough for the rest of us. So we let it leave. Here's the song, Yang Ilumi Nkukhu.
Yangiluma,
Amen. Simanga Salengo,
Ikuli Savantavayo,
Ituli Matu,
Ikuli Musa,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Mazumbo,
Simanga Salengo, Ituli Matu,
Ikuli Musa,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Mazumbo,
Simanga Salengo,
Ama Shemcho.
Ituli Matu,
Mama Wose Ameli,
Ituli Matu,
Ino Bisaluma,
Simanga Salengo,
Ituli Matu,
Ituli Matu,
Mama Wose Ameli,
Ituli Matu,
Ino Bisaluma,
Simanga Salengo,
Ituli Sabantu Bayo,
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masiyo,
Simanga Salengo,
Ama Shemcho.
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masiyo,
Simanga Salengo,
Ama Shemcho.
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masaluna,
Simanga Salengo,
Ikuli Sabantu Bayo.
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele
Usenjo, Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masaluna,
Simanga Salengo,
Ikuli Sabantu Bayo.
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masaluna,
Simanga Salengo, Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo,
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masaluna,
Simanga Salengo,
Ama Shemcho,
Ituli Matu,
Ikomisele Usenjo.
Ituli Matu,
Ishoma Masiyo Ayo,
Simanga Salengo,
Ama Shemcho, Ama Shemcho, Ama Shemcho.
See, on the occasion of the release of Singing for Peace earlier this year, I had an interview with Albert Mazabiko of Ladysmith Black Mbazo in March. So I was thinking, since we have a few more minutes, well, more than a few, that I'll play that interview. So we're going to end the show with this pre-recorded interview with Albert, speaking about Ladysmith Black Mbazo's, I think, 51st anniversary year and Singing for Peace. So I listened to Ladysmith Black Mbazo Singing for Peace, live Singing for Peace around the world. And
yes.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got it, because the concert that I really loved, a whole lot of it's on the CD.
Wow.
Yeah, even your voice. I mean, even your introducing, you know, talking about the group and its history and Professor Joseph Shabalala's, vision. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, that's on this on this CD. I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, okay. Things worked out so fine.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then, the song that his younger son sang last night at the club, it's on here too. As well.
Yes.
Mhm. Yeah, and Amazing Grace, your closing piece. Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, it was really good being able to listen to that. But live is always better.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, is this a new direction? I mean, you've always been about peace. But is this a new direction for the ensemble, Singing for Peace around the world? Is that a new direction? Because I noticed, the younger members are taking, singing, songs, and the ensemble director, he left the stage and then he come back, and it's a different kind of feel for the group.
Yeah, it is a new direction, although we have been singing about peace, but it was mostly the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are laying back. We said, we have achieved so much, so now let's celebrate. But in our celebration, so we said peace should reign, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So because we feel that the peace is needed all over the world, and then so also that grooming the young ones in the group, because we want them to carry on after maybe we moved on, because we're not getting young anymore,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting beautiful anyway.
mm-hmm.
So this is a way of that, because we, as you know, that we wanted to build the school which was going to teach the indigenous music in South Africa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the things didn't go fast as we like. So we said, let's take the school to people instead of putting the school there and then invite people to come to school.
Mm-hmm.
So the school goes to the people now. So that's why, and then we might notice the last night show that we were telling more history behind the songs,
mm-hmm.
and also we chose the songs that has been a peace song, that the song that has been bringing people together and encouraging them to put aside their differences and then sit down and talk and then make peace with each other, because the only thing that we think is needed in this world is peace. Is peace in the workplace, at the home, in the community, in people themselves. Myself, I need peace, and then the other one need peace. So if that we can, you know, grab that and then live that way, so our world will be a happy world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly, certainly. And then I guess when you bring the classroom to the student, in the way that Ladysmith Black Mambazo does, you don't even know you've been in school.
It's
just so fun. It's, you know, the school, people think, school, I don't want to go. But, you know, when Ladysmith Black Mambazo takes you to school, you don't even, you know, you're just having so much fun, you don't even know that you're getting a lesson, too. Until you leave and think about, yeah, can you remember that song that the younger son sang? What's his name?
The younger son, Tamsang, is Tommy. We call him Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy, yeah, because his name has a click in it. yeah, we have a Tom Salt here in the Bay Area. You probably know him. He is a choreographer, and he was with the Serafina International Touring Group, and he ended up staying here and marrying and having a child, and so he retired, and so now he's producing some more shows, and so anyway, so we learned how to do that. So we learned how to pronounce Tom Salk's name.
Yes, I know that guy. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. So when he sang the song about what was it about? It was about how, you know, you should beware of you know, of admirers
deceivers. Yes. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Because all they want is just, you know, the physical pleasure, and then after that, they're gone.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but somebody's heart has been broken, but
mm-hmm.
the other one going happy said, "Okay, I had a good time," but not both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, "No, this should stop." So if you are staying with somebody, be friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be friend for now and then tomorrow, so you are gone, because that's not the right way. So I love that song a lot, and then so is one of those things that it makes me happy, especially in this a tour and this performance, and also in this direction we have taken now. That you said, let's take this direction, and then I think we are going in the right direction anyway.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. So we were going to talk today about women, because this is International Women's History Month, and International Women's Day is Friday, but. In South Africa, August, you said, is International Women's History Month, right?
Yeah, but is that the South African one? It's a national, you know, Women Day. In fact, but the Women Month also we celebrate the whole August. But anyway, to be frankly and to be honest with you, Women's Day is every day because there's no one can move an inch except that women does something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's. Even the life that we are in this world, we are breathing right now, is because of the women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned that that you know women you know raised you and like your mother was working, you stayed with your grandmother, and so you were able to sort of develop that feminine side of your person in a way that. Men, boys and men are not always able to do because they're not necessarily have that kind of intimate relationship with a woman who is a caregiver in their lives like you were able to.
Absolutely. You know, the women has been my everything. Besides that, my mother brought me in this world, but they also brought me up. And my grandmother, so she was wonderful. And then I don't think it's any person in the world that can be a good teacher as women, because I learn everything from my grandmother. I learn how to sing and how to dance and how to behave and how to be a man. And this is what I am now is because of the women. And let alone that my mother was the hard worker at home, because my father was not, it was not feeling well anyway, and then for all his life, God bless his soul anyway. And I learned a lot from him also, but my mother taught me everything, because at home, there is a culture that the women, they have their kind of work with, that it's different than the men. Like, taking care of a family is a women thing in our culture. And then that makes them work so hard. So I was still a little boy, but I was always helping my mother, going to collect some wood from the forest to make fire, and helping her getting water from the well that we were drawing water from, and also grinding the mealies to be able to cook. And she also taught me how to weave all these mat that we use, and so many things. You know, the other boys, when I grew up, they used to tease me. They said, I am a girlish. Because sometimes I used to go to fetch water. It's something that the other boys don't do.
Mm.
And then I was even learn how to carry that pot of water without holding it.
Ah.
I think, you know, so all those things. And then so when we were out on the mountain herding cows and goats, and then I used to just cut the grass and then the particular one, and then they found me making some necklace and some bangles with those are the things that have been done by the, what you call, the women.
Mm-hmm.
And also I was playing the harmonica. So the harmonica was very famous in my time for the women instrument. So I was so fond with it. And then so my mother bought me one, so I was playing all those things. So I was kind of, you know, different from the other boys, but the most thing the other boys, they admired to me is that I was musical. So I even taught them how to sing. For instance, when I was 9 years old, I formed my own group.
Mm.
And then so we were singing so well and then winning the competitions. So the women have been, you know, wonderfully in my life. So when you talk about women, you are talking about people that I said they should be praised every day, as I was saying, that every day is a women's day to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you were saying that what you learned from your grandmother and is not necessarily, you know, like your children don't know how to do the things that you know how to do, which is, and you were talking about not just, I guess, skills that have been passed on and rituals that, you know, one particular gender might know and the other doesn't know because, you know, the socialization doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily crossing over, like the boys don't normally hang out with their grandmothers, but you did. you know, you would know your grandmother, but you wouldn't necessarily spend, like, the whole day with her, you know, helping her with her chores and learning how to do those particular chores and activities. So you were talking about, you know, a project where you were going to try to start, where you actually were going to start writing down and documenting these particular rituals, because if you don't, if they're going to go away when you're no longer here. We should talk about that a little bit and how you've been able to share with your own children and grandchildren now a different perspective on what it means to be a man. Because when you said that your grandmother taught you how to be a man, I'm like, what? Like, how is that?
Yes, exactly. You know, you just mentioned something very important, that it is true that when our generation disappears, so we will go along with so many good things that we have never left behind. We had a discussion with some of the Ladysmith Black Mambazo members. Mm-hmm. Backstage is where in backstage we talk a lot about good things. And then so, you know, I was just remembering that, and then there was a drawing on the wall, so we saw the pictures of the birds, different birds, and then so I remember that, and then so we started to talk about the birds and that, you know, all kinds of birds at home, what their relationship with the people, what they do, and then all sort of things. And then I started to ask some of the guys, especially the young guys, that there is any book that it has been documented, especially the names of the birds in South Africa, which is written in our language, isiZulu. So the names of them. And then they said, no, none of that. And then I said, oh, this is sounds like, you know, something that we have to do, because when we talk about those things among the young guys, I'm talking about the guys that are in the group right now. So most of them, they don't know the names of the birds. So I said we should start it now, and then writing it down, and then write all the things about them and all those things. I even remember the one bird that we used to praise. When it flies, and then sometimes it flies, it just stands still flying. We call that bird Matele Telene. It's got some praisings, and then so we praise it because what it does, it's so beautiful, and then people leave everything they do, and then they just watch the bird. So I think that's the thing that I'm going to focus on and try to do my best. And then so I know the other guys will help me, especially the older guys in the group. Mm-hmm. And the young guys, they will guide my, you know, because they will ask some questions. And then so that will make me remember some other things. If something that I've forgotten, we still have people that we grew up with. And then we still have people that who are living in that farm I grew up. Those people I'm related to them, my cousins are still there, and the friends that we grew up with them. So the information is still there, and then I can even go there. If it's time, I can take my camera and then take pictures, although maybe I have to hire somebody, maybe a professional, a photographer. But that's a project that it just came to me in this tour. I said, this could be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then, you know, try to write about all the things that we've done as boys when we grew up and things that's going to disappear after we move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just, I mean, it was amazing when you all shared that this year, 2013 is the 50th anniversary of the founder and leader, Joseph Tshabalala's, you know, vision for Ladysmith Black Mombazo, you know, and this whole, you know, new way of musical tradition that he started, you know, the Iskatamiya.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Iskatamiya.
Yeah. Yeah, the tiptoe. Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, 1960, 1970 doesn't seem that far away, but it's like, yeah, I guess it really was.
Yeah, in fact, it's the 53rd this year, so mm-hmm. yes, so to this year, we've come so far, so it's wonderful. And it's also amazing, as you say, when we look back, it's like, we have come so far,
mm-hmm.
and amazingly, so we are still going strong, people still appreciating our music, and that's why we say today, mission of spreading love, peace, and harmony throughout the world is still continues. So we said we are blessed.
Yeah. I didn't know that your song was the song that was accompanied President Nelson Mandela's receipt of the Nobel Peace Prize, that you all were there and you sang your song. I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you were there, you know. I'm talking about in the ceremony.
Yeah.
I remember when we went there and then they said this place, which the ceremony will take place,
mm-hmm.
it's a holy place in their culture. So there's no sound system allowed in that place.
Mm.
You have to sing naturally.
Ah.
So they need no big speakers and all those things, all the instruments in there, those things are not really allowed in that place. So we said, this is perfect, because we are going to use our voices.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get into that room, so there's people who are sitting down, all wearing a black suit, even Mandela himself, that day he had a black attire, black suit, and then a white shirt, and then the bow tie. And he was sitting in the front row, and then with Mr. de Klerk from Holmes, all the other people there. And then so we start that song, because this is a song that was chosen to be sung on there, because the song, it has been a big impact for bringing this different political organization at home, parties to come together, and then so we sang the song. When we finished the song and Mandela stood up and then he raised his fist, he said, Black Power, Black Mambazo.
Mm.
And he sat down.
Oh, wow.
It was very emotional. And then after that, he asked us to sing the same song on his inauguration in Pretoria,
mm-hmm.
the Union Building. I remember we were joking, sitting in the Union Building, and then he said, guys, that's in this place where we are sitting now, it is the first time the black person was allowed to sit down in this place. Even if you were working there, you were not allowed to sit down where we were always standing, because it was telling you that this is not your place, you don't belong here. But they were sitting down. And then so we're joking, we said, if some people can wake up from the dead here, they will be amazed, what are we doing here? So this was just a joke. And then Dr. Mandela also, and he requested us to sing in his... as we sang before he was sworn
mm-hmm.
to be a president, and then
wow.
So you know, it's those things when you think about it, wow, man, to be in a ceremony is something that is beyond your imagination,
mm-hmm.
beyond your thinking. But this song, you know, at home when we sing the song, everybody, all the parties at home, so they stand still. And then I remember there was a time when the fight was so bad, and then when they have their big rallies, they invite us to come and sing the song.
Mm.
And then the funny thing that when we sing the song, if we're in the other party, so because we mention all these parties by their names, so sometimes when we mention the other party, said, no, skip that one, just stick on this one. But we never listen to them. We said, because the song is for everybody, that's why we want to tell you, call that party, and then because we are brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not kill one another. Let's live in peace.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was so surprised when, you know, last year, on the, was it the 100th anniversary of the ANC?
Yes.
Yeah, that you all were not there. I'm like, why isn't Ladysmith on the bill? I mean, I'm like, and you said because we weren't invited. I'm like, wow. I didn't even know that you had been in all these really historic moments. I'm like, wow. Wow. Yeah, Nobel Peace Prize, you know, the presidential inauguration. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. That's really amazing.
But anyway, we had our share.
I know, but
the
ANC, that's Nelson's party.
Yeah.
That's Mandela's party, you know? So it's like.
he's home now, retired, so he has been our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the president, and then even the former president, Thabo Mbeki, I hope you might have seen this picture. When I was in Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I'm not anymore.
Oh, you're not?
That was on Facebook. It was, I'm not anymore. I was with our former president, Thabo Mbeki. And,
okay.
So he has been wonderful. We're singing for him everywhere where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
If we're available right now, the current president, Kgabi Zuma, he's
mm-hmm.
been a good friend, and then every December we go to his homestead in his place and then sing. I'm talking about just last month, and then we were there singing with him. He was there, and then wonderful. So we are good friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We are so blessed. You know, we
mm-hmm.
have so much warm relationship with the country that we are living in.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, back to, you know, the women that we've been talking about, I also wanted to mention that I really enjoyed learning more about Ladysmith Black Mambazo when I saw the film Under African Skies, that you all are like, you know, that was the story of Graceland, and I didn't, the director is Joe Berlinger, and you all are like so young. I mean, you're as young as the young members of the group now. But you look the same. Your face, I mean, I can recognize you.
Wow.
And you all are like traveling around, and you know, Paul Simon is like, he goes into the, you know, South Africa under apartheid and starts making all these recordings. I'm like, whoa, my goodness. And then, you know, he gets into trouble with, you know, the folks that are saying that, you know, people should boycott South Africa.
Yeah.
And then when the tour happens, there's more stuff. And so it's really a great opportunity on, you know, to watch the two men, you know, Paul Simon, you know, this many, you know, recently, you know, all these years later, being able to have a conversation with a person who was over, I'm not sure, was he over the ANC? I'm not certain exactly what his role was.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he, okay.
Yeah, he was the leader of the I think it was ANC Youth outside South Africa, Dalitambo. So
yeah,
it was, you know, that makes me very happy every time when I watch that documentary. I said, oh, this is great. It is a happy ending. It's something that we like all the time.
Yeah, it was very well done. And then I saw another film recently, the Pacific Film Archive. It had like an African Film Festival in February, and it was a part of the African Film Festival Incorporated out of New York on tour. And every year they have these really wonderful films that that we were able to see because of this great film festival. And this one film that I saw, you all weren't in the film, but you were in the soundtrack. I'm like, oh, I know them, think to myself, right? and I think a woman is the director, but it was a film about that hotel in Johannesburg where African people from different places in the on the continent are able to live. And you know, a lot of times, you know, there's the xenophobia, so it's really hard for people who are not, you know, South African or not Zulu or not, you know, one of the main groups, to even be able to find a place to live and be able to be safe. And this particular place, it's, you probably know it. I didn't know it until I saw the film. but you know the place I'm talking about, right? It was a place that black people couldn't live in before.
Yeah.
Oh, I just found it. It's called Africa Shafted, Under One Roof, and it's a portrait of the residents of Johannesburg's tallest building, and it's by Ingrid Martens. It was done in 2011. So you know that one, right, because your music's in it.
Yes, I know that one, yeah.
Isn't it great?
It's wonderful. It's very great. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of women as our topic today, which is a topic that makes me very happy, I'm so happy that so now we have given the women the platform that they deserve, because that's where they belong. You know, I was so happy, and then this time we were in Chicago. The lady came there. She is the high consulate from South Africa. She is a woman. And she told us this when we go to Toronto in Canada. So there is a high consulate there, and when we're in Toronto, so she came and she met us, and it was so wonderful. And then she cooked us the food from home, and she reminded us, so home, we play the music from home, we dance, and then all those things. So, and in fact, all the representatives of South African government in Toronto, it was only women. I was so happy. I was over the moon. And to see them, these are the people that are running our, you know, our country outside the country. Mm-hmm. And then the people that who knows about the people that will have a compassion, the people that if you are going there, you need help. They know how to help people. It's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, to tell you the truth, right now, if they can nominate a woman to run to be a president in South Africa, I'll be the first one to vote for her. And then I will campaign for her and go around and let's vote for her, because I know the women, they have a good heart, and then so they will run our country peacefully. I'm not complaining right now, but I know that they will do a great job.
So in closing, are there any you know, we have like these shout outs, right? We call the names of women that, you know, you could call the names of women that that you want to honor by just saying their names. Do you want to do a shout out to women that are alive now and women that have passed on?
Absolutely. The first one is Miss Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. She is in Africa. In a place that it needs peace so much. I'm so sorry. That makes me so, you know, emotional. And I just want to say, God be with her. And then I know that she will accomplish so much over there.
Yeah, where is she at in Africa?
She's in right now. She's in, I think she's in Sierra Leone.
Oh, okay.
And then somewhere there, she's... She took a position of being a mediator or somebody that this is a big a position in Africa, representing not just representing our country, but she is the Africa and African continent. The person that who is in charge for everything. So yeah, if you can go to maybe on internet, so you can Google and then you can learn.
Yeah, how do you spell her name?
Dlamini is D L A M I N I. The first name is Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. She has two surnames because she was married to our president, Jacob Zuma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you remember her?
Yeah, I sure do.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, she's in a very, important position, and then she's doing a wonderful and great job. So we just say salute to her and many other women around the world that they are still standing up for our country and our world and doing a good job.
Well, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation.
You're very welcome, my friend.
Yeah, and it was good seeing you. And people who want to check you all out, you're still on the West Coast, and you'll be on the West Coast for a while. not in the San Francisco Bay Area, but on the West Coast.
Tonight we're in Santa Cruz, so we are going to Portland, and then we'll be there until Seattle, and then going to Alaska, and then from Alaska we're going back home. Because we want to be in the coldest place, and then go back home. So it's very hard.
Yeah, and then you'll be coming back here, I guess, for the summer, or?
Yes, we'll be back here in the summer. I think it's end of May, June, maybe June, July. I think it's June, July.
And then you get back home for a little bit, and then you come back again, or what?
Yeah, go back home, and then we'll be back maybe after summer. I think we'll be back maybe in about fall, maybe October, November, somewhere there, and then going back, and then come back the next year, 2014.
And you have a new CD coming out in 2014, all original music.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
That's going to be excellent. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the movie about, you know, sort of like the backstory, sort of how the men that are, you know, the members of Ladysmith Black Mbazo fraternity, how you all came to be who you are. So we can duplicate that.
Wonderful. I'm so looking forward to that too.
Awesome. Yeah. So my daughter's a professional photographer. So if you need somebody, she could help you out.
Wow, that will be wonderful. Yeah. But I don't know how she's brave. She might be afraid to walk in the forest.
Oh, no, we've been
avoiding avoiding the snakes and the frogs and then the always lizards around. I'm just kidding.
Well, we've been in rainforest because we were in Madagascar and we were in South Africa.
Oh,
yeah, we were in Madagascar, so you know we were in rainforest and there's a lot of creepy things. But you know, we try to stay on the path and look.
Okay.
All right, you take good care, Albert, and thank you so much, and good luck on the rest of the tour and on your performance tonight.
Thank you very much, and then you take a good care of yourself, and then I'll see you in South Africa in August, maybe. Otherwise, just enjoy your trip to Africa. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm going to try to stick around.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Peace and blessings.
Okay, peace.